Bless you. Good welcome. We need the podium?
Yeah.
Okay. And thank you. You may be seated. This is Sandy Zondervan, and we know Sandy. She's in UK right now. You still with the Trevor Baker? Yeah. They are with Trevor Baker, a Grace Church, the church where they are new building right now, right? They used to be in a building who used to be the courthouse, and there's prison, jail, and everything, and I sleep there one time, you know, but not in the jail. It turned to become a church, right? So, and she's come from there. Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's been awesome so far, hasn't it? Just hearing those testimonies, and wasn't worship amazing, too? Don't you love the presence of the Holy Spirit? Oh. Do you know, when I was worshiping, it reminded me of my very first time in Toronto. Do you remember back in, for me, it was 95. Just standing there on the lines and just being there. It wasn't who spoke. It wasn't which worship team was on. I used to watch the ministry team walk down the stairs, and they were manifesting. And I think, wow, what do they have? Can I have it? And I came hungry like an addict all the time from Guelph, which was, you know, where Guelph is. Not too far. It's about as far from here to Toronto Airport as probably you are, right? But I used to stand and I used to cry. And here I was again, just, Holy Spirit, you are just so sweet and amazing. And not just sweet, he's powerful, but don't you love him? What could we, you know, it's that refreshing. It's that Jesus didn't say river of living water for no reason. It's because we need it. Do you all have belly buttons here? Do you? Are you sure? Do you want to just double check and see if you got one? Sure. You got a belly button? Right. Jesus could do nothing unless he saw what the Father did. We are grafted into that vine. Apart from him, we can't do anything, can we? So aren't you grateful for your mothers for giving you that nutrition and that nutrients that you needed? Why? Because you needed to develop and grow. And what a miraculous thing to know in 9 months that a little baby comes out with hair, hey? And toenails and fingernails and all the organs in 9 months. That's amazing, isn't it? God wants to encourage us today. I really felt like God wanted to encourage you this morning. You know, you might have been in holding patterns. Anybody ever in holding patterns? It tends to, you get a little bored or you just think, what's next? You know, and when what next comes, as John was saying, you can start yelling at that wall with your own strength. You know, the good is the enemy of the best. Our plans are good plans, but the best plans are worth waiting for. So we want the best, don't we? And the best is that flow of the Holy Spirit directionally in all of our lives. And what I felt like I wanted to give to you this morning, if I can give you something, Holy Spirit through me, was I really wanted to help dissect the prophetic for you. And I find it really interesting that Isabella Allen was here 2 weeks ago. And we're prophetic as a church in Catch the Fire anyway, aren't we? But sometimes we need some really, you know, when you watch cooking shows and you go, okay, I'm going to go try that, and it helps to have the visual rather than the cookbook. You know, when you go, oh, that's how you whisk, or oh, that's how you add things together. So do you guys mind if I be a little bit practical with you today? Would that be all right? Okay, so we're going to do some dissecting. Now, it's always good if we do dissecting to have a specimen, isn't it? So I'm going to be your willing specimen for a moment, but I want to take apart and I want to dissect prophecy for you in two ways, okay? First of all, we're just going to quickly go through, and you watch John in action here with the young people, Revelation, receiving from God, Jeremiah, what do you see? Remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah, you're a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, you know, why did Jeremiah need to hear all of that? Because he needed encouragement, because he was one man up against a lot of false prophets and people who were not believing and changing their lives to bring their country and to bring Israel into the destiny that God had for them. And Jeremiah is going, come on, they're going to come out. They're going to get us. Repent. You know, the king's busy snipping up Jeremiah's written down word in his winter garden in a fire. And he hears the word and he snips it up and he burns it. And then he goes, go find me, Jeremiah. Let's kill him. So, you know, we often use the beginning of Jeremiah for comfort and go, well, Jeremiah's a prophet. But what's our times like? Hey, who's snipping up those words that and burning those words and you're thinking, oh my goodness, God, they are your words and they will be fulfilled. They will come true. So Jeremiah, Revelation, what do you see? I see an almond branch. Good job, Jeremiah. Did you read it in there? It's amazing. Well done. You've seen well. You think, okay, so what did Jeremiah do? He just saw. So who gave the interpretation to that word? Did Jeremiah? No, God did. God said, you've seen well because I'm watching over my word to perform it. Take a deep breath. Prophetic lifestyle is great. It just means having our umbilical cord. You all have one, don't you? So you've got a good memory of where that came from. Attached to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit flowing like a river. So therefore, if you've all taken, I'm sure, hearing the voice of God, Mark Verkler, have you? Yeah. Tuning into that flow, fixing your eyes on Jesus, and watching things happening. It's like standing on the edge of a diving board. And you go, oh my goodness, I'm not prophetic. No, you're not. Not until you decide to listen. Do you know that? Because we can say, oh, I don't dream dreams. Oh, I don't hear. You know what, guys? You all got saved. So even before, you know, you were in that position or of even thinking about who's a prophetic person and who's not, you've already been put into that category because you heard God. You know, we heard powerful testimonies up here. We all have powerful testimonies. I think I've spoken before here about the power of testimony. Your testimony is your anointing and your weapon. It's your gift of faith that God's given you. Why? Because nobody can steal it from you. Revelation says they overcame him who? The enemy. By the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of their testimony. So when you know someone who suffered severe depression, and you had severe depression, it's not going to be very difficult for you to go and try to encourage that person. If you've never been a depressed person in your life, you might try to find the materials or so on, but wouldn't it be so much better to find out us living stones being built out together to find out each other's testimonies so that testimony can prophesy? Because what is Jesus? The spirit of prophecy, it says in Revelations, is the what? Testimony of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He went around doing good, didn't he? He stood up and every eye was fixed on him in a church service. You know, John was saying, you know, 2,000 before, or, you know, hundreds of years before that, David. Here Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. They had that scripture memorized. Do you know that? They knew it off by heart. It was, they loved the word of God. And so here they're hearing the revelation, and then boom, right there, every eye was fixed on him. It was a eureka moment, wasn't it? They went, oh my goodness. Every eye, it says, was fixed on him. What happened? The penny dropped. So that is the breath of God, the Holy Spirit breath that he wants to breathe into us. So take a deep breath. It's not so bad, is it? Is it so bad? No, because we were meant to have an adventurous lifestyle, weren't we? You know, I was sitting here thinking, okay, God, what's next for me? Because there's some changes I know that need to happen for me and shifting and so on. And we're talking about how we're a church in transition, that we're in transition right now. And, you know, it's going to be okay. And if you're moved around in your job or moved around in location, it's all great because it's like a big chessboard and God's moving us. Well, what if it starts happening to you? Well, it's great to say it in general, but when it happens to you, you've got to get there, don't you? You've got to go, my goodness, standing on the edge of the diving board where I end and the leap of faith takes place. Hey? Because apart from him, we can do nothing. Isn't that childlike? Isn't that wonderful? So we got revelation, we got interpretation, and then we've got application. Okay, so we get the interpretation, and then we say, okay, well, how are we going to apply it to our lives? So we're receiving the revelation, we're diving off the diving board, hearing the interpretation from God, whether it's through the word or whether it's through just knowing what it means. Well, we've always got to go back to him. Because you can see an apple, and many people have different interpretations for the apple. Or I could go back to go, oh, it's probably about the seed. Or it's probably about taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, those are all good things that flood into my mind, but I need to tune into the Holy Spirit and say, which one for this person? Do you see what I mean? And they're all good, but that takes the practice part. So taking that leap of faith and diving off, and just seeing. All right. You had Isabel Allen here a couple weeks ago. So I just want to be the guinea pig for you for a moment. So she was in Toronto, and I got this word, and I was very excited about this word. This word I got in 1998. So that's quite a while ago, isn't it? That's a long time ago. And she said that I was going to be like one of David's mighty men. And so I like the whole warrior thing, manifesting, you know, the power and the strength of God. Let's go do battle. I liked reading about David's mighty men. It's pretty courageous, isn't it? And then she said, but you were going to go through the fiery furnace, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you're going to come out of it and you will not be smelling of smoke. I'm like, yeah, great, fantastic word. Love the word, yeah, law. You know, the funny thing is I went through such a fiery furnace that I named my cat Shadrach when I thought most of it was over. And this morning, I'm visiting my mom for a couple weeks this summer, and said goodbye to her. She just had major surgery last week, so I just, you know, said goodbye to her in her bed this morning and had a cup of tea with her. And right beside us, sitting there purring in charcoal black, was the cat that I'd named Shadrach. And I looked at him and I went, Shadrach. You're still alive. What does that mean prophetically, I wonder? But you know, I've been for 10 years, so that's 98, went through a really hard time, 99, 2000, came through the fiery furnace. But it's still been a fiery furnace, but it's a good fiery furnace. But that fiery furnace that they prophesied for me was one where one of my idols needed to be taken down. It had to do with intimidation. Because I used to put people with degrees and people who were like surgeons way up on a high pedestal. So I almost married one. Okay? Didn't work out, so my self-esteem was completely flattened. And what God said to me was, Sandy, this is causing you too much distress. It's destroying you. I began to stutter. That's how broken I was by it. Look at me now here with the microphone. Isn't that amazing? So, what's the key there? Was that idol needed to come down in my life? Because God had other plans for me. And if that was going to affect me to the point that I was stuttering, what was going on there? Yes, inner healing, of course. Get it sorted out. But there was repentance on my part too of saying, God, I am so sorry for putting people in high places Anyone on my page, are you happy in my messy dissection with me today? Because I tell you, that King's Speech movie was prophetic. It was. It came at the right time. Because the king said, I have a voice. And his mentor said, that's right. His friend said, that's right. You do. Did you watch the King's Speech? It won all kinds of awards. Prophetic movie for our time. Because you have a voice. We have a voice. Our voice is powerful. Our voice out of our mouth, as John was saying, is the word of God. It's a two-edged sword. You know, I had a prophetic word that my sword was in my back, so I was doing this. This morning I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking, it's this. Because it's out of my mouth. It's out of my mouth and out of the core of my being. And that's why I want to know the word of God. That's why I want to have that testimony of the word of God, like Jeremiah when he's going through such a hard time. Read about him. Two verses before this one. If your word was not, I could not declare your word, but it is like fire burning inside my bones. I cannot help but declare it. What does that mean then? It means that the word was explosive. It was like locked up. It couldn't help but get it out. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you thankful for Jeremiah? What an incredible testimony. I want to say to him when I meet him someday, which I will, and so will you, because you're going to make friends and pals and buddies with everybody in the Bible, aren't you? Why? Because they hear testimony prophesies. And so Jeremiah's testimony prophesies. He says, I ate your word, and it tasted sweet, tasted like honey. Fire in you. Aren't you glad? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, isn't it great just to know that God prophetically wants to open up the word for us, to make it such an easygoing thing where you make buddies. You can just ask him today. Because you had the same issue as me, didn't you? Fear of man. Yeah, it's a big one, isn't it? Hard to look at people in the eyeballs, isn't it? Really hard. Oh, really hard to look at people in their eyes. Intimidation is broken today. Condemnation is broken today. Shame is broken today. Because by the blood of the Lamb, we've overcome all of these things. Our freedom for us. So you have a voice so that you can receive the revelation, you can interpret it, and then you can apply it. You can speak it out. You can soak in it. You can not just soak in it, but we're in a process. Say that. Do the John Arnott thing and turn to your neighbor and say, we're in a process. Remember your umbilical cord. Yeah, okay, because it says, I speak to you children because you know the Father. I speak to you who? Young men. Why? Because you have what? You've overcome the evil one. I speak to you fathers because I've known you from the beginning. Now we think, well, that scripture verse is just for pastors and leaders. Is it? Are you the leader of yourself? Sounds good to me. So you're in process, aren't you? And so there's a whole development that God wants to bring us through where we know him and we can overcome. Do you know there's so many rewards for the overcomer? So many rewards. Look in Revelations. They get rewards. There's a little study for you. Go home and think about, what are my rewards, God? What are the rewards of an overcomer? Well, number one is your testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. If you think, I don't have any faith, look at what God's done for you. Use that bit of faith that you have. And if you have a hard time believing for healing, find somebody who's been healed and send people to them. Because you had faith to send the people over to them, didn't you? But we go, well, you know. There's freedom for us today. God wants us to develop into that prophetic lifestyle where we are receiving revelation, receiving interpretation, and then applying it to our lives. So, Shadrach. So why did I call my cat Shadrach? Because I was trying to think, well, it's the end of this. But I learned, you know, I'm so grateful for that experience. I can't believe I'm actually saying it because it was so phenomenally painful in my life. But I'm actually testifying to you today that I'm really grateful for that experience because I got that idol taken down in my life. So what idols? What are the things that are just niggling so badly at you? There's a scripture here that relates to it. Okay, listen to this. Close your eyes if you need to. Consider it joy, pure joy, James 1 verse 2, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so it has a job to do, so that you may be what? Mature and what? Complete. And what again? Not lacking in anything. Goodness me. Guys, we got it right there. It's all right there for us. Perseverance so that we can be complete, not lacking in anything. And then here's the next one. In this, you greatly rejoice. Here we have another good old joy word again. Did you just notice the joy at the front of the other verse? Here, 1 Peter 1, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. For how long? Little while. You may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater value than gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Oh, wow. So this is really important to God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Believe that he exists. Is that a scripture that we give to non-Christians or baby Christians? You know, you got to believe that God exists. Who is this being written to? The church? To the Hebrews? You need to believe that he exists. It's like, who? What are we coming up against there? The spirit of unbelief inside of us. Hey, believe that he exists. You know, God loves it when we're just really completely honest with him and saying, I'm really struggling with faith right now, God. I'm really struggling to see you in my circumstances. This is really hard. I've begun to stutter. What, in the middle of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Toronto in 1998? How is that possible? Hey, how's that possible in the midst of all of that? I'd been soaking for a few years by that time, Jude. Hey, you think, wow. Well, God loves me too much to keep those idols because he's got other plans for me. Because I have a voice, and so do you. And God wants us to prophesy. He wants us to take that leap of faith and fix our eyes on him and not look to the good, but look to the best and acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will direct our paths. So it's about coming into alignment with heaven. It's about making that choice to make that adjustment. And it's really hard to do. It is. All our emotions are against it, and if they're not against it, then we can feel the condemnation emotions coming in, and, you know, it's like, ugh, this side, ugh, that side. Getting it on mark. God, what do you want to say? Because we are meant to thrive, not survive. We're not here on this planet to survive. Is there any area in your life that you are surviving in right now? God's saying, I want you to thrive. So you can say, oh my goodness, there's some survival there, God. Can I talk to you about that? Because I need that gold credit card from heaven. Do you know he loves giving us that faith card to spend it? Spend that money from heaven? Faith? Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for? The evidence of things unseen? Does that sound like a gold card to you? Isn't that great? God wants you to spend that faith, that little faith that you have, by fixing your eyes on him. All right. So let's look at some definition, because, you know, did any of you get a 2-minute prophetic word from Isabel? Or was it more like 5? 5 minutes, more like 5 or 10 maybe even? All right. So what she did was she tuned in and she could have had a scripture. Then she could have went to a picture. Then she could have went to a declaration. Then an affirmation, then a scripture again. So what I want you to do, because this is what I did, because this thing that I'm going to talk about now came out because I had about 25 pages I went to the UK with of prophetic words that I received over the years at Toronto, because I was at one of the School of Ministry guinea pigs, because I used to be on staff at Toronto for 7 years. And so I'd have tapes. So I'd type up all these tapes. And so what I decided to do, because I love to, again, do things really practically, was I wanted to say, okay, well, what's going on with these words? So I identified what they were about. One was a healing word. What's a healing word? A healing word is God wants to fix your broken heart. Do you know I had a prophetic healing word in the School of Ministry for that exact situation that I was talking about, where I was stuttering, this little 18, 19-year-old said, I'm really having a hard time saying this to you. I'm like, oh, no, go ahead, say it. She goes, I see you on an operating table and your heart's completely lacerated. And you think, how is my heart ever going to be fixed again? And God is giving you a brand new heart, and it's going to be stronger than it ever was before. He goes, is that okay that I said that to you? I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Same time, a little girl said, I see a hope chest. Anyone know of Canadian Hope Chest or the Prairie Hope Chest? You know, women prepare to get married, and they put all their things in. I see a hope chest, and God's restoring your hope chest. I'm like, wow, God, you're amazing. These little kids don't know me. So what was God doing? He was bringing healing, but he was also identifying me. You know, and God knows us. It says he knows the number of hairs on our heads. How many of you receive those kind of words that you go, oh my goodness, only God could have known that. Oh, thank you, God. And even though your heart's still sore and it takes some time to work it out, you just go, oh, it's ointment. Oh, everything's going to be okay. Don't you love words like that? Don't you love healing words? I think, thank you, God, the little boy said that. Because it was really hard for him to say that. It was quite a word, wasn't it? But boy, did it bring healing to me. What about training words? Let me tell you about a training word I had. I was doing prophetic prayer, you know, where you sit down on a chair. Have any of you been involved in that or had that, where you sit down on a chair and you've got a couple people and they've got a tape recorder or a piece of paper and they're scribing it out? So we got a tape recorder. And this is in the UK where I live now. And so I'm prophesying over this lady, and I'm getting so jealous of her word. Anyone ever get jealous of a word that somebody has received? Well, I'm getting really jealous of her word. And I'm like, it's become technicolor. It's this whole living movie, and I'm lost, and I'm thinking, my goodness, I hope she appreciates this. This is incredible, you know? I have never met her again, but anyway, I went home that night and I said, God, that was so amazing. And he said to me, Sandy, I wish you would ask for words for yourself from me. I'm like, he goes, and by the way, that one's for you. So she got it, but so did I. So then I went, oh, okay. Would you like to hear the word? Great word. Oh, love this. So this is also, you know, because he likes to talk to our personalities. Do you know that he's very interested in your personality? Okay. So picture like the Bodleian Library in Oxford, in England, you know, all those books, ancient, you know, English books. Big fireplace, books as far as the eye can see, almost like angelic activity above them. Incredible, hey? So many books. In front of this this fireplace are two chairs. And in the one chair, Father God is sitting. In the other chair, I'm sitting. We've got two cups of coffee. He's got a book open, and he's pointing out things, and we're laughing our heads off. Laughing and laughing. He goes like this. Gets this idea. And have any of you ever seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the first one, where they're in the candy shop and you see those like ladders that spin around? Well, it was one of these ladders. And so he climbs up the ladder, spins it around, and he's going through these books. And as he's going through, he's looking, and he pulls out a book, he brings it back down, sits back on the chair, opens it up, points his finger, and we're laughing hysterically again. All right, so we've got the revelation now, don't we? Everyone with me on the revelation? Cozy, fire, atmosphere is good, feels good in there. I'm sitting on my chair leaning over. It's one of those cool, like, Matrix chairs. Remember those from when Neo is about to take the pill? Anyone watch that one? Okay, you know, that cool backing one. There we go, yeah. Helps with visual aids sometimes, doesn't it? Yes, okay. Atmosphere's good. All right. So, interpretation. Now, my interpretation is going to be very specific for me on this one, but I think it'll help you as well. But I was one of those ones that sat in the back of class during school, and by the end of September, I'd pulled my Bic pen apart, and I was spitting spitballs and staring out the window waiting for when summer would come again because I had some learning disabilities. Difficulties. Okay, so I didn't do well. Prison, school felt like prison for me. So what was I doing there with Father? I was learning. I was learning in a peaceful environment. I was learning things that he wanted to show me. Where were we? In the library. Isn't that amazing? What am I trying to get across to you today? Things that I've been learning and that I've allowed soak in me. Interesting, isn't it? So for those of you who've had learning difficulties in school, I guarantee it's really hard for you to read the Bible. Isn't it? You don't have to nod your head to me, whoever you are, but it's a trial. So what does God want to do? He wants to say to you, I've got a book for you. Because there's thousands, millions of books. And he was so specific that he had put his finger on his mouth like this because he was thinking for a moment about me. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That be an identity word? Hey, you belong to me, Sandy? Would that bring some healing too? Yeah. How would it be a training word for me? Well, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I need to go and I need to spend time, don't I? I need to get my cup of Tim Hortons or Starbucks or whatever coffee, and I need to sit down and have time with him, don't I? And I need to ask him, who do you want me to read about? Sandy, Jeremiah. Read about Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what do you see? So what's he asking you? What are you training in the Word of God? What's that prophetic training, as John was saying, that word? What is that word that's burning like fire in your bones? Go back to those old ones. Ask for new ones. Because you have a voice, and God wants you to declare it. What about destiny words? Have you had destiny words that God's going to send you to the far side of the earth? Or you're going to meet unusual people. Well, a lot of them are in Toronto here, aren't they? Because we've got a multicultural country, don't we? But what about those destiny words? And you know what they are. You know when there's a shift and a change happening and you think, my goodness. Well, just seek God about them. Ask him, what does this mean, God? Go to your leadership. What do you think this means? And because those are the mysteries, aren't they? I mean, I had no idea. I honestly didn't. Back sitting at the front desk answering those phones that I would ever end up in the UK and that I'd ever come and speak in your church about the prophetic 10 years later. I did not imagine that beyond my wildest dreams. I really didn't. And here I am with you guys. Isn't that amazing? Because God is a God of divine appointments, and you just don't know how that path goes. Even the chance that I got to work in Toronto, I had to go to British Columbia. My mom's pastor gave me a prophetic word and said, and Abraham went out, and the word of the Lord, something about the word of the Lord came to him. And, you know, I went out to British Columbia, and I just happened to have friends who were connected with the school, with Peter and Heather Jackson, who said, you look like a good YWAMer, because I was in Youth with a Mission. I'm going to send them a reference letter about you. I got the reference letter because he said, you look like you really want to go back to Toronto. I said, yeah, I do. You know, I went back into Youth with a Mission in British Columbia. And he said, you really want to do that, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. It's an amazing place. And by August 28th, I was working in Toronto. Isn't that amazing? I look back and I go, my goodness, what an adventurous life. So now I'm kind of at one of those places again where I'm saying, God, there's new doors of opportunity I keep hearing. Things that are changing for you, Sandy. Now, I'm having a great time in the UK. I love doing this, but I know there's more. And so I'm just saying, okay, God, I'm living by faith, waiting for just taking that day and just believing and seeing what's going to happen. It's an adventure. And life's meant to be adventure. If it's not, then we're back doing the good again, which is the enemy of the best. Hey? Because you were born for adventure. Seriously, stand up because you're falling asleep on me. You were born for adventure. You were born for adventure. Right. Yeah, come on, stand up. It's all right. We're almost finished now anyway. Okay, so was that helpful for you? So can you go home now and look at your Ivan and Isabel words and the words that you've received in the past and look at them and say, is that a destiny word? And what do I need to do about it? There's something called progressive revelation where you say, you know, is there more to this? How many of you have dreams and somebody from 10 years ago appears in your dream and you go, my goodness, that's strange. Yeah? So what do you do with that? Well, that was interesting pizza I ate last night. Never mind. That's a prophetic word. You phone them? Yes. You call them? Yeah. It could also, that's one thing, and that's great to do. Yeah, call them. But what if they represent something to you? Something of their character, because God communicates in a language that we understand. And so he communicates with us in a language that we understand. I had this dream about Paul Keith Davies. Anyone of you in here heard of Paul Keith Davies? Yeah. Okay, some of you might not have. Now you have heard his name. Now, he's one of the speakers that comes to Revival Fires in where I'm at in Britain. And I liked his speaking, but it wasn't until I had a dream about him that I got his books and his CDs. Why? Because God was saying to me I needed to have that. Because I had a dream where I saw the eye scales, like Paul had eye scales on his eyes, in the Bible. And I'm like, ah! Because he's opening up the word to me. I'm like, ooh, this is kind of... And it was because he had the eye scales taken off of his eyes so he could say... And I'm like, okay, that's for me then. I need the eye scales taken off of my eyes so I can get revelation from the word. And so I read Paul Keith Davies' stuff, and it's all about that. And I'm thinking, okay, I've got, that's the direction of training, sitting on my little chair with God. All right, so close your eyes. Put your hand on your belly button again, because, you know, it's a good place. Thank God again for your mom. Lord, we just thank you that without you we can do nothing. And we just pray, Lord, that those rivers from our innermost being will spring up and overwhelm, Lord. That we will get it back into that spontaneous flow. Lord, places where we've been stuck, where we feel like we've been stuck in a rapid, stuck up against a rock, we thank you, God, for a deluge of fresh living water that will just take that dam out, that will just push us, Lord, cantilever that momentum into our lives so that we can flow into what you have for us. And Father, I pray anywhere where hope deferred has made the heart sick, that you would just wash that out now with the presence of your Holy Spirit, where there's been a holding pattern. I just pray now. I just felt like to say these words over you, that God wants to refresh. He wants to revitalize. He wants to reinvent. He wants to reconsider. He wants to reconnect. He wants to reconcile, reinstate. I heard the word return, recover, that there is things that have been stolen or lost that you need to call back because the enemy has taken them, and you get a percentage that goes with that, it says in the Bible, because you said, I found you out, and God wants to give you an increase. Sevenfold, that's right. So I just declare that for those of you who've been lost and have been stolen from, and even a recovery of like names, you know, where you feel like your name has been, you know, where your good name has been soiled. Lord, we just pray a recovery of good names. Oh, in Jesus' name. Recovery now of good names. Recovery of all that's been lost. Relieve, reinvest, reinstate, reinforce, refuel, and refill. Ooh, so Lord, just come, bring that now in Jesus' name. Just in this moment, just in this time, I want you to start practicing those revelatory keys. And I want you to do it with the Word of God. Say, Lord, who do you want me to read about in your Word this week? Who do you want me to make friends with this week? Because, you know, God gives children curiosity. And we need to become like children to enter into the kingdom of God. And he actually wants us to be curious. So he wants to restore to you that childlike curiosity where you become dependent on him again, like Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. Where we, you know, the highest form of maturity is actually dependence, guys. It's not independence. It's dependence. And in order to be mature, we've got to be grafted in. So, curiosity. We just speak to that curiosity and we say, bubble up curiosity. Bubble up curiosity in us. We want to be curious. We don't want to be bored like children on a rainy day. We want to be curious again for the things of you. So Lord, would you just open up that person or that scripture that you want us to read about, that friend that you want to make, that you want us to make with in the Bible. And we just thank you for that. And we just thank you, God, for the way that you're going to train us through what this person went through, because their testimony prophesies to us. And Father, I pray for our personal prophecies too, for our personal testimonies, Lord. I pray for divine appointments for us to be able to impart what we've received, whether it's a healing that we've received, emotional healing or physical healing. I pray, Lord, too, that there will be such an openness to be able to get to know each other's testimonies and to be able to send people to each other, that we would be living stones being built together. Father, I thank you for the reward of the overcomer. I just pray now, Lord, for anyone in circumstances that are like fire, Lord. I just thank you that they will come through these circumstances and they will not smell of smoke. I thank you, God, that for the spirit of the overcomer, I pray now for the breaker anointing now to break through and to uproot and to tear down all of those things, Lord. We invite you to come in and to take those idols down in our lives. Lord, we invite you because for what you have for us, those things need to fall. So, Lord, we want to look at each other in our eyes. We don't want to be intimidated. We have a voice. We have a destiny. We have doors of favor that are meant to open for us. We just thank you, God. We just thank you, God, for this adventure that we are here to thrive and not survive. And we just give you every area now that we've been surviving in, and we give it to you, and we say, God, here's a surviving area. Here's a barren area. We invite your river to flow now. And we choose not to just hope, but to move into expectation. Because the difference between hope and expectation is that expectation has a time. And so, God, we want to give a time to it. We want to say, we expect. Just like a woman hopes to have a baby, it's different than when she's expecting. Because she knows that within a certain time, something's going to happen. A baby's going to come forth. So, Lord, we're violently taking it by force. We're saying, Lord, we're moving into expectation. We're calling those things. We're pulling those things down. As John was saying earlier, we're pulling those things. We're grasping a hold and we're pulling it down. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, now for your encouragement. Just keep stretching your hands out to him. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your sweetness, for your presence, that we are filled with you. And like Peter was filled with you and he went out boldly. Oh, what a boldness. Like Jeremiah locked up in his bones. Thank you for both of them, Lord. Thank you for that testimony because it was only through you. You said to Jeremiah, do not be afraid of them. Jeremiah, do not be afraid of them. Oh, and Peter was afraid of them and he denied you, but oh, he overcame. We thank you for that. We pray for that encouragement for each one of us. In Jesus' name.